This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help, 954-966-4646.
Ready. There he is. We are in the batter's box. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Orlando. What's going on, man? Happy July 4th.
Yes, happy July 4th this weekend. We will be celebrating the 4th. Didn't celebrate last night as the boys came up short a little bit there. Yeah. Did you enjoy the Angels-Mariners brouhaha?
I don't know. I think that's going to – I think that may be a precedent set. A lot of suspensions, injuries to – well, in one injury to one of the players on the Angels, Archie Bradley. I don't know, man. I feel like Phil Nevin
got like 10 games.
Yeah, I feel like we're nearing the end of bench clearing brawls. I think baseball's trying to stop that. So I think that that's
why. Why don't they have the whole basketball thing? Remember, like you come off the bench.
Yeah.
Once you leave the bench, your suspensions already start, and maybe that's
what
you
have to do. Yeah. Huh? We're headed there. I think all of this is. I think the days of seeing so many. Non-fights, really, let's be honest, they're just swinging their hands around, but like leaving the bullpen, jumping out of the bullpen, like why is that allowed? Like why? I don't understand. Totally agree.
Right. So you got to have suspensions and fines right away for all of that. Now that has to be collectively bargained, right? I mean, that's
absolutely.
And here's the other thing, guys, we're risking injuries. You just talked about Archie Bradley.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, the Yankees had a prospect by the name of Brian Taylor, and his career ended in a bar fight.
Right, in a bar fight. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is what's happening. You know what I mean? And so we're going to risk at one point some dude's going to be gone for the year, or man, who knows? He loses his career on something stupid like a brawl. Now, listen, you and I can get into another conversation where baseball and their asinine unwritten rules or whatever. Right. It's like way overboard, bro. I mean, you know, it seems like there's like 8 chapters now to unwritten rules compared to when I was, 15 years old and watching baseball. It's just, that's the other thing. These guys get a little too ridiculous with some of these unwritten rules.
I think we're trending toward the end of it, but very clearly we're probably on the back nine. That's the best way to put it in golf. Probably on the back nine.
All right. On the Marlins side, Chisholm was missing a couple games, comes back, spasms.
Yeah.
So they come up again. So obviously, what's the latest? What do you hear? Because it's kind of tough for a young guy to be dealing with the back spasms, man. I know us old farts can be dealing with back spasms all the time, but damn, watching a young cat like that, that's odd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on this today trying to follow it. I think it's more than back spasms at this point. I just don't know how serious it is. I think he's having an MRI now, or he had an MRI earlier. So I don't know what the results of those. Those will probably be public later this afternoon. I'll try and dig those out before.
Now you're getting me nervous, bro. Now I'm thinking herniated
disc. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, look,
God damn it, bro.
I don't know. The All-Star game is 19 days away too, I would just be speculating. If I had to guess, not knowing what the injury is, I would guess they put him on the injured list. And if that is the case, that would be a real shame. I would hope they'd still let him participate in the festivities for the All-Star game, but I guess their bigger picture would be winning, clearly.
Of course.
That would be a gut punch to a kid who I think is going to probably get voted in to the All-Star game too, and putting the Marlins on the map in some way, but his availability for that game I think would have to be in question. I guess, honestly, that's the bigger picture. Smaller picture is, you're right, back issues are very peculiar. They're tough to diagnose and find out exactly what's going on. And the last time this happened, I don't think that he had an MRI. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think so. And this time he definitely did. So we'll see. The one thing that you don't want to hear from this is the word strain. If it's some sort of back strain, that this is a month. This is 2 months. Yeah.
And he's one of the reasons why you watch this team, dude. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, man. By the way, did you see what Bally's did? That was terrible, bro. So Bally's now, you can buy the packages now.
Right.
You saw what they did. They put the Heat and the Rays together in one package, and then the Marlins and hockey and the Panthers on another package. So you have to buy both packages.
Really? Didn't know that.
In order to – yeah, dude. So you have to spend $400 for the year in order to watch both, instead of them creating one package for just the South Florida teams. Apparently, it looks like they don't have control of the Magic. So in order for them to sell the Rays, they teamed it up with the Heat fan.
Gotcha.
So it's
I'm not aware of any of that. That's the news. This is all news to me. But I guess it depends on your provider. I mean, this is all really for cord cutters, honestly, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm a cord cutter. Yeah. No more satellites. No more.
I know a lot of people are. I still have not done that. I'm still DirecTV guy.
I'm still platforms. I'm all platforms now, bro. I'm all platforms now. By the way, were you pleasantly surprised with Daniel Castano? Because he was one that you're not buying much, but he had a nice outing the other night.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're deep enough to have these guys to come up and make a quality start every now and then. And, you know, clearly, was it against Colorado that game where we thought was, or is that against, that was a Mets. That was a Mets game.
Saturday he gets the Nationals. So.
They have done a really good job developing pitching. I mean, it's unequivocal. It doesn't matter who they call up. The pitchers tend to perform well. But, you know, is Castano more than a five? Is Braxton Garrett more than a five? The answer is probably no. Maybe on a team that's, you know, fighting for the bottom of the standings, maybe Castano could be a four or Garrett could be a four. But realistically speaking, they went into the season thinking, Orlando, that they had, you know, Trevor Rogers, a potential ace, and Jesus Luzardo, a budding ace, maybe, of some potential. And Rogers has gone completely the other way, and Luzardo's been out for 2 months. So they'd rather have those two than the two that they have going. And that's just the nature of baseball, though. It's so funny. At the beginning of the season, so many people think, oh, the best five-man rotation in baseball. It never ends up being that way, you know? Like, at the end of the season, you're lucky if you have two of your guys still going. So we'll see what happens with both those two guys, Castano and Luzardo in particular. Castano and Garrett in particular, because Garrett just does not seem, Orlando, like he can go more than five innings in a game. I think almost he'd be better as a long reliever.
Castano playing well, and you talked about Rogers, who he got off the train there, man. I don't know what the hell's going on. Pablo's hit a little bit of an uneven patch here in the last couple of outings too, right?
Yeah, very similar to every year. Very similar to every year. Strong start and
it's actually true.
And sluggish finish. Pablo is a quality major league starter who can, you know, be a number two on every team in baseball, maybe an ace for some others. He'll have a, you know, mid-3 ERA. He'll strike out a batter per inning. But it just seems like as the seasons go on, there's some wear down with him. And again, he's not hurt. So that's definitely a good sign. He's made every start through the rotation with the exception of the one where he got hit by a line drive. And we're in July. So he's made a lot of progress for sure. And he's one of the nicest players that I've ever encountered in the history of Major League Baseball. He's a phenomenal guy too. But, you know, there's something to be said for the Marlins having this pitching depth and maybe consider trading him before the season. Right now, if you're looking at him as a team, you're like looking at the last month going, what are we getting right now? And I think he'll turn it around. It would be great to see him make 25, 30 starts and then make that decision at the end of the season, because they just gave Sandy Alcantara that long-term extension. Pablo will be a free agent in a couple of years, and, I mean, they'd have to pay up for him too.
Sixto, bro, what happened?
There's nothing happening. You move right on.
I mean, no, but God. But he looks so gifted a couple years ago. We'll never see this kid again? Is it just?
I don't know.
Like, what is it? What is it with him? Is it just his body is, you know, it's hard to do this thing. Your body's really not made for pitching and all that stuff. So Is he mentally not the kid? What talk to me.
A lot of different opinions.
What happened to Sixto Sanchez, bro? Come on.
I just don't get a lot of private conversations from people that are like supremely optimistic on him. I just never have. And every public comment on him in terms of injury has been incorrect virtually. He's going to come back here and he's going to come back here. Yeah. He's going to come back here. Remember last year, he's going to be the best.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
In July, he's going to be the best trade deadline acquisition a team could ask for. And he never pitched this year. And this year, he had offseason surgery. He's going to be 100% ready for the beginning of spring training. He still hasn't pitched. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, is it part of him as a player? Sure. I mean, I think that has to factor in.
Yeah, but at this point.
What you have to hope, Orlando, is one day. I know it sounds like a book, but one day Sixto Sanchez comes back. I think that's what you – one day you see him on a mound again, but you cannot count on that at this point.
No, you can't. But we have to admit, when you watch them, you're like, oh, Lord. Like
he was great.
The good Lord blessed that young man with skills. Whether he can put it together to stay on the mound in the major league level, that's a whole different ball game. But brother, you saw the talent. Like the talent.
There's no question, but Orlando, the Phillies traded him, you know?
Yeah, no,
I'm not saying that the Phillies are smarter than the Marlins at all. I'm not intimating that, but if they knew that Sixto Sanchez was gonna be this good, would they have moved him for JT? I don't know the answer to that. So
I mean, JT's a hell of a prospect, a hell of a player too. So yeah, but
yeah, wow. He hasn't had the year he wants, I know, but I still I'm bashfully a huge supporter of JT. But look, regardless of that, will Sixto Sanchez ever pitch in a big league game again? I bet the answer is yes. But will it be this year? I don't think so.
Yeah, what a shame. Kim Eng wouldn't put a number on it today when asked what it would take to be players by the time the trading deadline rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, is there any reason to think that they're going to be players or really sellers instead mm-hmm. when that trading deadline rolls around in 5 weeks at the pace we're at right now?
Yeah, the recipe is very simple, and this is it's really easy, Orlando. So the Marlins know what is ahead of them in July. Okay. So they have 4 games against Washington. They're 8-1 against them. They have 11 games against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And those two teams are among, if not the worst teams in the National League. So that's 15 of the 30 games that they have left. If they somehow can dominate in those 15 games and essentially split the games against the other teams, then they'd be right back in a position where they'd be around 500 and they have to make a decision. My opinion, and my opinion only on this, is that regardless of how those games go against those bad teams, they have not won a series against a team in the National League that they have played that's been above 500 at the time. Let me say this again. We're almost halfway through the season. They have
won. No, they beat the Mets. No, we got two. Didn't they get 2 or 3 from the Mets?
No.
They didn't?
No. Lost the first 2, won the 3rd.
Couple weeks ago?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. They have not beaten a team that they've played at the time.
Oh, wasn't it the Astros?
American League. They have not beaten a team.
But it was the Astros, right? It was the Astros.
That's the only team that they've beaten that's had a winning record.
Okay.
This
I knew there was
season.
Somebody. I knew there was
We're
somebody.
We're halfway through the season.
No, I got you.
The Padres lost. Giants lost and split. Braves, they beat once early on before the Braves were over 500. Then they lost the next 2. Same thing with the Phillies. The Cardinals, they've lost this series again against them. They lost the first series against the St. Louis Cardinals.
I took the Cards today, plus 1.5 runs, even though it's going against Pablo.
Sandy,
I took it.
Sandy. Here's the question that I would ask. Let's say that they beat Washington 3 out of 4. And let's say out of those 11 games that they play Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they win 8 out of 11. Very possible for them to do that. Are they really going to still feel good about themselves that they can't beat any of these teams that are ahead of them in the standings? And they're going to buy based on that? I mean, you cannot beat the Mets. You cannot beat the Braves. You cannot beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Like the Padres, the Giants. And so what would the buying be for? You're going to sacrifice prospects to try right. for something that has not succeeded. Now, look, they feel confident that the second half will be a lot different, as they should. this is the way that it operates in sports. Any team in sports is going to feel like they're better than they are. It's what it is. It's like being a lawyer. It's like you're going to play that side. Right. But from my opinion, until you beat one of these teams that's ahead of you, what I mean, congrats on beating all these horrible teams. They swept the Rockies. Congrats. Like, right. what does it really mean? What does it mean? Right. You know what it means? It means you've made improvements. It means you're going to finish around 500. It means the games have been a lot more competitive this year than last year. And it's a better season. There's no question. But as far as buyers are concerned and like trading a prospect to try and fight for something that I'm not sure is realistic, that really has to be evaluated.
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world. All right, we'll wrap it up with this. I see where Major League Baseball may waive the relocation fee for the A's. And the relocation fee can be all the way up to $1 billion, I saw. And I know they're targeting two different areas there in Las Vegas.
Right.
Here's the problem I have with all of this. Why would you want to work with the A's and that ownership group? They don't make the commitments you need in order to get over. They have fantastic baseball people like the Rays do, mm-hmm. yet they don't spend the money that they need to just get over the top. Because you know, and I know that if the Rays and the A's actually spend a little money, hell, man, they'd be scary, scary, you know, baseball teams in this league, because they do pretty good without the big payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Vegas, why would you want to make a deal with an ownership group that isn't going to spend? You know, and hell, baseball knows it's so bad that they have to waive the relocation fee because they don't have strong ownership group there in Oakland. What do you do there in that situation?
I mean, you have to make the assumption that based on, I mean, I guess it's not a fair assumption. It kind of goes back to Miami, I guess, right? Like when the Marlins were given their new stadium, the promise was they were going to spend, and they did, right? Immediately. And that ended 3 months later, right? So, I mean, that's the truth.
I guess the
same assumption is going to be made in this case, Orlando. I'm not all that familiar with the story in particular. But I suppose they'll just go based off, hey, you know, like a handshake. Hey, if we do this for you, you got to make sure that you, you know, don't just eat all your revenue sharing money. And look, there's no guarantee of that. But that's the nature of baseball.
Crazy stuff, man. All right. So what are you working at on the sports grid? Swings and misses, Miami Herald.
Yeah, Herald column just came out. So that's up right now on some potential trade deadline acquisitions and sales for the Marlins. So we'll do that. I'll have a new podcast tomorrow. And I'm on Sports Grid every single day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on Fantasy Sports Today, and then 2 to 3 on Newswire. And I'll work through the 14th of July. And then I'm taking my family for it's more or less a vacation, but a work/vacation at the All-Star game. We're going to go to the All-Star game. And I was really, really hoping that Jazz would get in and even be in the Home Run Derby. I thought that would have been fantastic. And it's like a little bit of a gut punch to have that injury happen. So, but I am very hopeful that Sandy Alcantara will start in the All-Star game. That would be really special too. The only problem is he's fighting against a guy right now on the Dodgers, this guy, Tony Gonsolin. His numbers, he doesn't have the strikeouts, but his numbers are really good too. And would they let a Dodger start over him? And you know, they may do that, you know, but hopefully Sandy gets that shot.
What do you think about the kid today that's pitching against them?
Against the Marlins?
Yeah, Palanti.
You know, not the highest touted prospect, but
pitch well.
But you know, I'll tell you, yesterday was really a tough one because in my mind, I mean, I guess this falls on Don Mattingly a little bit, but it's like you're up 3-0. It's the fourth inning. And if you're up 3-0 against a team you need to beat for the wild card, I just feel like they had to pull Garrett out of that game and put somebody else in and get some outs and forget tomorrow, man. Like, forget the we're starting to get deep enough. We have to use the pen.
Get the win.
You're playing. I mean, this is the team you're going to have to beat to get to the wild card. And they let him stay in, and he got hit and hit and hit, and it was too late at that point. So it's not just yesterday really bothered me a lot. But look, Sandy has been dominant If I'm not mistaken, the last time he pitched in St. Louis, he pitched a complete game, 1-0, 9-inning loss. So
that's why I took the 1.5 runs.
It's gonna be a
close game. Vegas is gonna give me a 1.5 runs. I'm gonna take it, man.
Close game today. And honestly, I mean, wanting the Marlins to be good is an understatement for me. Like, I'm so desperate to cover a winning team, but it's like every 5 days when Sandy pitches, it's like the only time where you really think that there's a good shot they're gonna win the game. They need more of these kind of days. It's like, oh, Sandy's pitching. All right. Probably going to win this one. And then after that, you're like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just a horrible feeling.
When Dontrell was pitching every 5 days and it was like,
Beckett is like, you feel good. The rest of the day,
but it became such an event for the Funky Chicken, man. It was so awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, next week, Ohtani, Tuesday night against the Marlins.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
That's going to be fun. I'll be in Vegas. Enjoy. So I'll be watching from Vegas, no doubt about that. All right, follow him on Twitter at Craig Mish. Please subscribe to Swings and Mishes so you can follow the Marlins and the podcast and catch him on Sports Grid doing his thing there every single day. Craig, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate it.
All right, have a great week, Orlando. Happy 4th to you and your family.
Happy 4th, my friend. Be good. Enjoy the All-Star game. There you go. We step out of the batter's box.